Welcome to Light from the Word, a ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Moraine, Ohio. In the Bible, in Psalms chapter 119, verse 130, the Bible says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." We pray that the Holy Spirit would give you light from the Word as Pastor Tom Gresham brings the message today.
2 Samuel chapter 22. Thanksgiving coming. You know, it's even interesting in the world and stuff. They have a lot of things to celebrate fall, just autumn. You know, all the decorations for, the harvest and all that. But you think about it, the harvest is really something that gives you the evidence to be thankful for. Amen. The fact we have a harvest. Yeah. Amen. There's food to eat, and it's a blessing of God. And, you know, you hear people talk about, you know, all the different foods for Thanksgiving and listing all the stuff. I'm like, man, that's all good, but if God didn't bless your crop, you wouldn't have a harvest. You wouldn't have all that blessing. And honestly, we're extremely blessed in this country, even with some of the limitations of things we run into here and there. But I really don't know too many people that are going hungry on purpose. You know, I mean, you got it. It's just the goodness of God. And well, the more you talk about being thankful, it's something that we ought to be every day. Right. Every day. I think that's a big problem with a lot of our Christianity is we might celebrate Thanksgiving once a year, but you don't have that spirit of Thanksgiving all the time. Amen. Man, every day we wake up, it ought to be like, man, yep. God, give me another day. Amen. 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 I don't deserve it. Yep. Amen. His mercies are new every day. You don't deserve it. Amen. You get down at the end of the day, you look back in your day, say, man, look how God took care of me. Look how God looked after me. You know, sometimes those close calls are really close calls. You know what I'm saying? But you look back and say, you know what? I'm laying my head on my pillow. I'm in a warm, dry place, or cool if it's hot outside. You know what I mean? We're doing all right. Man, there's people all around the world who trade places with us in a heartbeat. There's people who sleep in your garage and feel like they're in a mansion. Amen. Their barn. Paradise, a lot of places live. Amen. So we are truly blessed. 2 Samuel chapter 22. We're not going to read the whole chapter, although the whole chapter theme is set up in these first three verses. But we're going to look at a few things and then see if we can't be a blessing. Try to encourage us really in being a thankful people. And 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1, the Bible says, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song," think about it, "this song, in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul." I mean, you guys stop and think about this. Saul is a king, sought to kill David. I mean, it's bad when your neighbor don't like you, but when the king of the country you're in wants your head, amen, and God delivers you multiple times, I mean, just it's something else. It says here in verse 2, "And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." You know what will help you be thankful and have a spirit of thanksgiving is understanding the Lord's your rock. It's not you. It's not your education. It's not your intellect. It's not your talents. It's God. Amen. If it weren't for God, none of us would have any chance. Amen. He said, verse 3, "The God of my rock, in him will I trust." Let me ask you, what do you trust it in to get through the day? You know why a lot of people go on meds because they can't handle life and all that? They're trusting in the Lord. There's a lot of Christians all full of worry and everything. You say, we're in troublesome times. Who's your trust in? You say, is it in science? And the thing is, you say, are you against science? No, I'm against the science that changes with the political themes of stuff. Amen. The science falsely so-called. Right. Amen? And science that they'll only give you part of the facts, not the whole story. Right. Amen? Amen? And if you say that something don't sound right, that you're censored. Amen. Just some of you, even with Facebook and stuff like that, you put something out there contrary to the science we're supposed to believe, they'll tell them to report you. Man, that's the way communism is. Amen. Hey, that's what when I joined the service, that's what we fought against would never come to this country. Amen. And it's here.
Right.
Amen. Telling you what you can do, where you can go, monitor everything about you. And if you say anything that goes against what they say, you're automatically shut down. Go to Facebook prison. Have you been there? Amen. Somebody say, what's that? It's when you put something they don't like, so they shut you down for a few days, hoping you get the lesson. What they don't understand with most people, that just makes you more emboldened.
Amen.
Amen? But the truth of the matter is, why is it that way in this supposedly Christian country?
Right.
It just goes to show you that a lot of that junk there, you got nothing to do with God.
Amen.
A lot of it's got nothing to do with America.
Right.
Amen. Amen. You see, talking politics? No, I'm talking about common sense.
Right.
Amen? It says, in Him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior, Thou savest me from violence. So we see as you go down through this chapter, he's talking about how great God is, being thankful to God, that God is his deliverer, the God he can put his trust in, the God that he saw through experience in his life, that God delivered him. You know, the one thing people talk, we can kind of kid around about age, you know, 60, 70, whatever. To some of you, somebody 40 years old is old. But I'm saying this, the one thing about getting a few years under your belt and getting some experience is that you say, I can see what God has done. Some of you young people, you say, well, I don't know if God can handle this or that. Hey, it's only because you haven't had the experience to see what God can do. And I'm telling you, I've seen God take people from the guttermost to the uttermost. I've seen some of the most horrible situations you could imagine. You said, my situation's bad. It ain't that bad. He said, you don't know. Then you don't know my God. What God are you serving? Amen? My God's the creator of the universe. My God can change your life. He can change your world. Amen. You said, well, I prayed and he didn't answer it. That's probably in your favor. You say, yeah, but I want. Is it time? Is it what God wants? You know what you see in the Bible? You see a lot of times where there's been a lot of desire, but it comes to a place of surrender.
Yeah.
Where you say, all right, Lord, not my will, but what? Thy will be done. You know what you learned in the garden with Jesus? Hey, all through his 3.5 years of ministry, they tried to kill him. You know why they couldn't? One time yet.
Amen.
But then when the time came, he said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass. You know, he knew the answer from the Father already was, there's no other way, son. There's no other way. You got to submit to me. Amen. You know what we learn in this life? There's no other way to make it as a Christian until you learn to submit to him. If you're, as long as you're in charge, it's going to be a roller coaster life. But if you'll submit to him, listen to me, one day at a time. How does somebody live for God? 25, 30 years, they started with one day at a time. And that day turns into weeks, weeks into months, months into years. And all of a sudden you turn around and look back and you're like, wow. If you told me my wife and I have been married 40 years, I wouldn't believe it, not because of our relationship, but just it's hard to believe how much time's already gone by. I mean, it's been a blink. I remember when Miss Tabby's coming over with that baby, I remember watching my wife carrying our oldest baby that way. He fixed it to be 40 years old. You say, how'd that happen? It seemed like in a minute. In a minute. Look down at verse 31. Look at this. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. Hey, this book's already been proven. You can take every skeptic, every non-believer, every atheist and all that, and they'll all come to the same conclusion if they approach it honestly. This book's been tried, and it's proven over and over and over again. That second song we sang, you know when it was written? 1917.
Amen.
And we're still singing it today. How many other songs you know go back to 1917? You think you're singing oldies, you go back to the 50s.
Hey, we were singing oldie, 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 oldies today. 1917. And that same oldie song that blessed their heart then blesses your heart now because it's of God. Amen. It's tried. It's proven. Amen. It's for God. His way is perfect. You say, well, I'm going to go my way. Well, there's a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end are the ways of death. Right. You want to do it your way or God's way? Amen. Amen. Now look down at verse 47. He said, the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. And exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. Kind of sound like a little song you've heard before? Bible's got a lot of good songs in it, amen? Amen? Hey, this is a song of David. We read that back here in verses 1 to 3. It is a song. Amen? He said, it is God that avengeth me, and that bringeth down the people under me, and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Now look here at verse 50. This is where we're going to take our theme. Therefore, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. The title of the message is, give thanks among the heathen. Hey, you know what's lacking in this world today? It's Christians giving thanks to their God in the presence of the heathen. The heathen don't have any idea what a wonderful God we serve because they never hear about him from us. They don't hear about how good God is. They don't hear about the blessings of God from us. Hey, if we've experienced that goodness of God, we ought to be able to tell them about how good our God is. Amen. Thanksgiving ought to come out of our mouth about the blessings of God on a daily basis. When someone says, hey, I heard about this in your life. Man, God sure has been good to me. You're giving God the credit for that? Yes, I'm giving God the credit for that because God deserves the credit due his name. He deserves that. You know what he said, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen. Hey, Thanksgiving, like we mentioned earlier, it's been shoved out of the way. You go from Halloween to Christmas. It's all about shopping. And Christmas got nothing to do with the birth of Christ. The world celebrates it without a clue about his existence. You say, well, I know as Christians, I get that, all right? How about the world, the heathen? Amen. The heathen. They put up a nativity scene in their house and they have no clue what it means. Amen. Ask the little kid, who's Jesus? So they got the kid down the block. He don't know. Why? They took God out of the schools. They took the Bible out of school. They took prayer out of school. People don't go to church. Where do they hear about Jesus? Where do they hear about how good God is? There's a lady got stuck on a piece of concrete over here right before church. Some of the folks help her out and everything. And when I pulled up, they're like, you got a chain? And I keep one in there just for that reason, my truck. So I give it to her. And I don't know if some of you helping her, if you heard her, when they pulled the car off that little piece of block there, she went, hallelujah. I was back there going, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. You don't hear lost people say hallelujah. Amen? Hey, it ought to be something happens. Praise the Lord. You ought to accidentally call people their lost brother. Not because of your brother, but you're just used to saying brother. You're used to saying sister. Lady at work, she did something. I said, thank you, sister. She just looked at me. I was like, they know. They should know. You're a Christian, right? How do they know about our God? Give thanks among the heathen. Hey, Thanksgiving ought to be a time when the heathen say, what are you doing for Thanksgiving, Brother Frank? Well, I want you to know the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to be thankful to my God for my salvation, for my family, for all my God has done for me, and we're going to have a bounty at our table because of the blessing of my God.
Amen.
Right. It is our God, isn't it?
Amen. Yeah.
I mean, Thanksgiving is about being thankful. Hey, I guarantee you, those pilgrims, them folks that sat down for that meal, they had the Indian folk come over, all that. They sit down and say, good meat, good bread, good meat, good God, let's eat. No, you know, they looked at that spread and said, God had been good to them. God had allowed them to be able to survive. God had been able to bring them from a land of oppression, bring them to a place where they had freedom to worship God, and they had Thanksgiving, and they celebrated God. They celebrate the Bengals or the Browns or some other stupid sport. They celebrated their God. And Christians have forgotten to celebrate your God. That's what Thanksgiving is. It's celebrating our God, and we ought to be celebrating our God in front of the heathen. He said, who are the heathen? Anyone that's not a Christian. Amen. 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 Leviticus chapter 25, verse 44, he says this. He said, both thy bondmen and thy bondmaids, which thou shalt have, shall be of the heathen that are round about you. Of them shall you buy bondmen and bondmaids. You say, what it was? See, a heathen was considered anybody that wasn't of the house of Israel. They're heathen. Amen? You know who the heathen are for us today? Anybody that is not saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Just because they say I'm a Christian. Those that have repented, put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Everybody else is a heathen. They may be a very religious heathen, or they may be a very pagan heathen, but they are all heathen. And they are all heathen that need a Savior that Christians don't talk about. As Christians, when it comes to our life ought to be about thanksgiving to our God. But hey, more Christians are concerned about yesterday with Ohio State playing and being thankful to God. More Christians are going to be thankful for whatever teams are playing today. You say, don't you know? I don't care. I don't mind watching a good game. I like it when they're neck and neck, back and forth, back and forth. I mean, it's a battle down to the last 5 seconds. I like a good challenge. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. I'm not going to put my day around it. Amen. You say, what's wrong, preacher? We're not thankful among the heathen. We wonder why the heathen don't know anything about our God. Hey, maybe if they heard us talk about our God, they might be interested in our God. They might be interested in our... People talk about salvation. How do you witness to somebody? How about start with, what did he do for you? Right. I hear Frank talk. A lot of times he gets a chance to witness people, and he'll say, well, I can tell you what he did. Let me tell you what he did for me. So, but don't you have to know a whole lot of Bible? You ought to know how much Bible it took for you to put your faith and trust in Him. I mean, what Bible did you have to know that you were lost without hope, without God, and then God showed you need to get saved? You said, I can't quote it right. Then memorize it. Mark a Bible. Get out a gospel tract. Read them a gospel tract. Hey, I believe what this says right here. This is the Word of God. God has been good to me. They ought to know that what we're talking about, yeah, can you understand what's happening in the world? And maybe a team use that for an open door talk to somebody. But our talk ought to be how that we want to show our thanksgiving to our God among the heathen. Right. Hey, David wasn't afraid to talk about thanksgiving for God and for the heathen. Right. Think about this. Some heathen said, we got the big bad Goliath. David went, I got a big bad God that your Goliath ain't nothing to. Amen. I mean, Goliath, this big giant. Oh, my goodness, Israel, what are we going to do? Oh, my gosh, king, what are we going to do? And the king stood head and shoulders above all the rest of the men of Israel. He should have been standing up there going, come on, punk, bring it on. Amen. He had no faith in God. David came out and he said, who does this guy think he is? They said, well, what are you going to do? Well, I've killed a bear and a lion. Anybody here got something to match that? You see, he wasn't arrogant like that. No, his confidence was in God. And when he saw Goliath, he said, hey, what's going to be? This guy's blasphemed our God. I tell you, people take the Lord's name in vain, say, was it time to pray? And they'll look at you and they'll go, huh? And I go, well, I heard you mention Jesus. Did you say you wanted to pray? You say, do that? Oh, I do that all the time.
Why not? Isn't that our God? Why should we let them just throw our God's name around like it's nothing? If we're a Christian, I say, well, I thought we was going to pray. They're like, no, I'm not going to pray. Blah, 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 and off they go. Well, they had enough. They're going to use the name Jesus. That must mean prayer time. For a Christian, it is, right? Why are we so backward with that? But if somebody talks bad about your sports team, well, I'll tell you what, talk bad about my Browns or whatever. Who cares? Who cares? Why is it we get more offended at worldly garbage than when they talk about our God? Or talk about our brethren. Well, I'll tell you what, that Brother Kevin, hey, hush your mouth, man. You got a problem with Brother Kevin? Let's go talk to Brother Kevin. You got a problem with this sister? Let's go talk. I said, why? That's my family. Listen, you're my family. If people want to talk bad about my family, I don't like that. So, well, that Chris guy, well, you got a problem with Chris, you got a problem with me. Well, you don't know what he did. Well, then let's go talk to him. Because if Chris ain't doing right, then Chris had a problem with me then. Amen? But that's my brother. That's my sister. Say, well, that Mary, wait, don't you talk about my sister. And if you're a real man, if they're talking bad about the women folk, that's even an extra notch toward the negative. You know what I'm saying? You don't talk bad about our women. Amen. Hey, I was raised, if anybody messes with your mom or your sister, you better step up, pal. Amen. You know what I say spiritually? Step up, pal. Listen, you boys right here, somebody talk bad about your mother, somebody talk bad about your sister, you better step up and say, ho, back up, junior. And so you can't whoop them. They'll know they've been in a fight before it's all done. Amen. What about spiritually? You going to let them bad talk to them? Well, man, I heard about this at your church. Hey, hey, shut up, man. Don't talk about my family. You got a problem with my church? Go see my pastor. Then they'll understand their problem's bigger than what they're thinking. Amen. Don't talk bad about my family. Amen. We are commanded to lift up the Lord in the presence of the heathen. You say, really? Turn to Deuteronomy. I'm sorry, 1 Chronicles. Where in the world did I get Deuteronomy? That ain't even in there. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. I'm telling you, I believe people. See, here's a misconception we've fallen into in American Christianity. To be a testimony, you must memorize tons of scripture and understand how to presently deliver this plan of salvation. If you don't know the Romans road or some other road that gets you to where you got to go, then you're not that spiritual. I'm going to tell you what makes it. Listen to me. People don't care what plan you know. People don't care about how many verses you memorized. What people want to know is what has changed your life that can change their life. They're a mess. They don't know what's going on. And they see you have peace, you have joy, and they don't. That's a step in the right direction. Say, hey, why are you happy all the time? I've come to answer, why aren't you? My God's been good to me. People now because I'm a preacher, they say, well, it's because you're a preacher. It ain't got nothing to do with me being a preacher. If I never preached the message the rest of my life, my God's still good, and I'll tell you he's good, period. Amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 23. Sing unto the Lord, all the church, show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. Hey, you know what a missionary does? He goes to the foreign field to make everybody Americans. That's exactly what a lot of people do, buddy. You hit it spot on. They think they're going to go to these other countries and make people Americans. But that's not what God called them to do. God calls a missionary to show his marvelous works among all nations. The marvelous work that you and I know is the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was crucified according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He's seated at the right hand of God to make intercession for us. And for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
That's what the heathen need to hear. They don't need to hear about American culture. They've got their own culture. That's why sending nationals to nationals is the best way. It's not about the culture. It's about Christ. Christ is what makes the difference. People around us need to know Christ is what's made the difference in your life. If Christ has made a difference in your life. Now, if you're going to walk in the flesh and look like, smell like, and talk like, and walk like them, then they don't see any hope there. You don't give them any hope. You say, I quoted them in Scripture. Listen to me, you can quote them Scripture all day long, but if your life is a bunch of garbage, all they're going to see is your life. They're not going to hear a word you said. Well, I gave them Bible. God in His mercy may help them remember the Bible, but they're not going to remember it because of your testimony. They're going to remember it because it's God's Word. But your testimony ought to back it up. Amen. Actions speak louder than words. That's how it works. You know, He said among them heathen, He said, listen, these heathen, He said, declare His glory among the heathen. Notice He said, show forth from day to day His salvation. We are to lift up the God of our salvation, who He is, and His willingness to forgive and save us. Not our religion, not our church, not our people, not our programs, not our thoughts, not our ideas. We're to lift Him up. I'm thankful we have a good church, but you not ought to be inviting people to church and say, well, you need to come because we got a good church. No, you need to come because we got a good Savior. And the only reason any of us in church have any goodness amongst us is because of our Savior. The only reason we can have families that have peace and joy is because of the salvation we got because of our Savior. The only reason we enjoy singing the songs we do and enjoying those things there, and we can sing out loud, and Brother Frank, we can sing them songs, and the reason those songs mean something to us is because of our Savior. Amen. We don't have religion. Right. People say, oh, are you religious? No, I don't have religion. Amen. I have a relationship. And that relationship is with the Creator of the universe. Amen. Declare His glory among the heathen. Turn to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. God's desire has always been for His people to lift Him up to the heathen. You know, He's all His. Listen, you know why idolatry is so bad? Because it takes the glory that God deserves for what He's done and gives it to a rock, a tree, a statue made out of metal. And God looks down and says, look at all my wondrous works. And you're like, thank you, rock. God's like, you're thanking the rock? What does the Bible say about that rock? The Bible said the rocks would cry out and praise God. Amen. They're going to worship a rock that would praise God. Ding dong. Yeah, amen. They take a tree, they take half of a Chris, and they carve out an idol. Then they take the other half and cut it up for firewood, and they worship the idol. That's ridiculous. Burn the whole thing. Amen. That idol will do nothing for you. Amen. Amen. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. You know what's going to happen during the millennial reign? You ever think about this? The millennial reign of Jesus Christ is going to prove to the entire planet who God is, period. God's wanted His people to exalt Him among the heathen, and since God's people have failed, He's going to show up Himself and say, now I'll show you. Now I'll show you. Why? He will be exalted. But I'll tell you what, you know where the reward and you know where the blessing comes? Comes from us exalting Him now. Exalt Him now. See, when we get to heaven, you're going to exalt Him anyway. But here, you have a choice. Amen. Y'all okay? All right, Psalm 108. Psalm 108. Give thanks among the heathen. And that's why we have to be careful. Listen, it's okay you get together with your family and have Thanksgiving and all that. And as a church, if we had a Thanksgiving activity, we get together, we thank the Lord amongst us. There's nothing wrong with that. But if all we do is stay in that little bubble and the world doesn't hear about our Thanksgiving to God, then our Thanksgiving really isn't very effective. I'm not against us getting together with our family and having Thanksgiving dinner and all that. So I'm not saying that. You understand? What I'm saying is, where is our Thanksgiving amongst the heathen? When do they hear us thank our God for anything? The multitude of His blessings on our life, our salvation. Somebody, well, why don't you do this or that? Because Jesus Christ saved me and He changed my life. Brother Combs sings that, the old man is dead. Why? An old friend stops by and wonder where you've been. Why? You're not out painting the overtime rent anymore. You're out there running, doing what you do. What changed? Did you just turn over a new leaf? Try a new program? Or did God come in and make a difference? People ask Brother Spurgeon, well, you know what? So, and I've had some people, you give them the check, they're like, so what? A guy got a haircut and he dresses better now. You don't understand. It's got nothing to do with the haircut. Ain't got nothing to do with getting a good shave. Ain't got nothing to worry about nice clothes. It's about a man's heart being changed because he repented of his sin. Jesus Christ changed his heart, his life. That's the difference. And you know what? I'm telling you, we used to get back at least one or two fast lane tracks a week as we started to produce more and more of them, and they went out all over the place. Why? And you know what, Chris, you know what happened? You get those letters back. And I don't know if they still got them. I wish I'd have kept a binder of them. Only for this reason. You read through there, and they said, when I read his story, I saw me. And if God could save him, God could save me. And I prayed and asked Jesus Christ to save me. Please send me free literature. You know what this world wants to know? What really works? What changes lives? What gives you hope? What gives you peace? The world's got psychology. They got dope. They got plans and programs. And they're a perpetual wheel that just keeps turning with no end. Because they don't have the answer. The answer is Jesus Christ. Pacific Garden Mission. Man, listen, Unshackled. These lives changed. And you know what the blinking sign said above? I don't know if you still got it now. But you know what it said for years and years to bums and drunks on the street that wandered in, heard the gospel, got saved, had their lives restored, families restored, jobs restored? Jesus is the answer. Amen. And He still is. Amen. But let me ask you, do people around you know anybody that knows Jesus? You say, well, I know Jesus, but do they know you know Jesus? Because if they don't know you know Jesus, they're still looking for somebody that knows Jesus. But what about if in your life you began to be thankful to Jesus for what He's done in your life? And when someone says, man, I'm telling you, I'm having a rough time at the house, and you can say, you know, I used to have a rough time in my house until Jesus came into my house. What do you mean when Jesus came into your house? Well, when I got saved, Jesus came into my heart, my life, and He changed my house because He changed me and how I live in my house. And He saved my spouse or however your personal testimony works. People talk about church, you know, well, is church a good thing? Hey, some of you in here, you met your spouse because of church. Amen? That was because of Jesus, you know that. Because Jesus allowed you to be in a place where you could find somebody that had at least the same ideas and such for the most part that you did about wanting to live for Jesus, and they wanted to live for Jesus. Right? Amen.
I found hope in church.
Yeah, amen. Others found hope, but it wasn't the hope you found, that's for sure. You got double hope, brother, amen? Double hope. Look in Psalm 108. Is that where I told you to turn? Okay, good. Verse 3. I will praise Thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto Thee among the nations. For Thy mercy is great above the heavens,
and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth, that thy beloved may be delivered. Say with thy right hand and answer me. Notice here he said, I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. Let me ask you something. Who do the songs you sing glorify? That music you're listening to, that music you're singing, who does it glorify? Amen. Look at Psalm 126. If the world hears you and I singing the same thing they're singing, the one thing that's interesting about working there at the funeral home is when there's actually services going on, they've got a PA system throughout the building. There's a couple places we turn it down because of the work being done, but sometimes in the hallway or the break room and stuff like that, and they've got it that way, so maybe if staff work in there, if they're taking a break, they can hear how it's going or different things like that. But it'll be interesting because when they're having Christian services in there and they're playing the Christian music in there, there's sometimes a song will come on, and I'll know the song, you know, a lot of them actually, and I'll just be singing along with them. And I don't even realize I'm singing along with them until I'm singing along with them, and then somebody just looks at me kind of funny, and I realize, well, maybe it's just because I don't sound as good as the people singing, but I'm having a good time. And there was a song came on, I don't know, it was a couple weeks ago, and I can't remember which song it was now. One of the guys, he said something. He said, well, that's interesting. And I said, well, and then I repeated what was coming in the song like that. And he goes like, do you know that one? Yeah, I'm familiar with that. He goes, is that the kind of music you guys sing at your church? I said, that's exactly what we sing at our church. And he just went, huh. And then off he went. You know what they're doing? They're watching you and I. I tell you, I told you this before, when it comes down to music, I grew up, I mean, there was a lot of rock and roll around. I wasn't into, like, the heavy rock. You get some of the stuff, Three Dog Night, some of that was considered. I don't know. I've never been hit by a soft rock. Rock was just a rock, you know what I'm saying? There were different groups and stuff. But the thing is I grew up around that. But my family life, a bunch of hillbillies, and it was all country western music. My grandmother didn't stand about that tall, and she played the bass that was that tall. I got a picture of her and my grandpa. They used to sing on the radio years ago, country western music and all that, all dressed up in the fancy cowboy looking stuff and all that business. So I grew up around all that business, listening to that stuff all the time. That was just the culture I was in, if you will. And I remember I got saved, but nobody ever really said a whole lot to me about the whole difference in what you're listening to and stuff like that, because half the people I knew as Christians listened to the same stuff that I did. They have no example. But I remember as we got in church and after my wife and I got married and she got saved, I remember coming home and we both had pretty much the same taste in music and all that. And it was summertime and all, and I could hear the music playing in our apartment as I was on the second story. And so as I'm walking up the steps, I can hear the music playing. And then the Holy Spirit said, how can you sing one man's lover's another man's wife? And then turn around and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Man, that sword went. And I was like, man, God, you're right. If I'm supposed to be a Christian, how can I sing about the honky-tonk, the drinking, and the horsing around, and the adultery, and all that junk? You say, yeah, but they sing other stuff. Yeah, yeah, okay, try to justify it. It's not going to work. Justify it's not going to work. So, and then the Holy Spirit said, well, now what are you going to do about it? Oh, so my wife and I prayed and had a come-to-Jesus moment and decided we had to get rid of that stuff. And you know what I learned from Brother E. Stepps? He taught us a long time ago was simply this. You must have the doctrine of replacement. If you just throw it away and don't replace it, it'll come right back. But if you get rid of it and you replace it with good Christian music, and Brother Estep, anytime he'd travel around, he'd meet people if they had, of course it was cassettes there, all that. He always brought them back and said, this is good music. If you're listening to wrong music, get this good music. You might not like the style at first, but if you pray, God will help you to where you can get good music. That's why we've got some CD stuff. People come and tell them, look, we got people that sing good stuff. Hey, leave some of them here so we can promote good music. Good music. And I got tons of it out the house. I was looking at something the other day with moving, you're packing stuff. You're like, well, there's that CD. I haven't seen that one in a long time.
Like, man, this one's good. That was, if I put all the CDs I had on continual play, I could probably listen to them for probably 6 months and never hear the same song twice, which is okay. And then you learn there's certain seasons and things where things are just, I'm talking about times in your life seasons where, man, you want, and this music just ministers to you right there. But now it's not singing about the world. It's about my Savior, about the lives changed, about what God does, how God's my friend, how God's there for me. It's a whole different thing now. And here's the sad part about it. Do you understand the more of the worldly stuff you listen to, the harder it is to get it out of your head? I know it works for Brother Frank the same way, maybe a few other people. I know some of these older guys. There's stuff that we listened to back in the day. I can walk into Walmart and they'll pull up an old song and I'll remember the words thinking, man, I can't even hardly remember what I had for breakfast, but I remember that old song. Word for word. Did I ever try to memorize it? No, I just listened to it 5 million times. Who do the songs you sing glorify? Psalm 126, verse 1 says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. They were happy about what God had done for them. What about you? Turn to Romans chapter 15. You say, well, you're in a lot of Psalms. All right. Romans chapter 15. Look what he says here. Romans chapter 15 and verse 8. Romans 15, 8. Look what he says. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy as it is written, for this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. God expected his people to glorify God, to sing among God, and that the Gentiles would hear that, and the Gentiles would rejoice that they could get that gospel. Amen. Hey, there ought to be people around us that because of the goodness of God to us, that's what they want, and they'll rejoice the day they find that same gospel. Amen. That ought to be what happens. The Bible says in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Turn over to Psalm 96. Psalm 96. Listen, folks, we owe honor and glory to our God. Psalm 96, verse 1. The Bible says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. There you go. Have you got a new song? Amen? Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Now look here at verse 8. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Or worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established that it shall not be moved, for he shall judge the people righteously. You know he said, say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. I'll tell you how you do that today. When people say this, read, they'll say, oh man, everything's such a mess. There's all this stuff with China. There's a virus. There's all kinds of stuff, Samuel. And then you always tell them, don't worry about it. God still has everything under control. God still has everything under control. God didn't fall through. God didn't wake up this morning and say, oh, I've never seen it like this before. I can't imagine what's happening. What am I going to do? How am I going to take care of my people? Ah! God didn't do that. God still has everything under control. God still has your best interest in mind. You are His children. Amen? Amen? Right. You are His children, right? Amen. All right, all right. Make sure. If you're not sure, then you can make that sure. He said, say among the heathen, the Lord reigneth. Look at verse 11. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. You see, why do we do it? For his great name's sake. Give the Lord the glory due unto his name. Let's finish over here in Ezekiel 36 and verse 19. Now you realize with the children of Israel that they didn't do that for God. And what God ultimately did because of the rebellion against God was God put them in a place that they didn't want to be. Listen, do you realize that you may have some divine appointments in your life? That God may put you in a circumstance that maybe seems a little unpleasant for you, but the whole purpose may be to magnify Him to other people that you probably might not see otherwise? Think about this. Your car breaks down, you need to get a tow truck. All of a sudden, this tow truck driver shows up and he's going to tow your car, and you got somebody that's going to pick you up. Now just realize, you know what? You've got an opportunity now to be a witness, this tow truck driver. You may never see him again in your life. But you know what he might have said? Daniel, you're a young driver. You know what he might have said that morning? He might have woke up that morning and said, my life is a wreck. Is there any hope for me? He might have looked up to heaven and just said, is there any hope for me? And then he gets his call, and it's your car that's broke down. And he comes up, and your attitude isn't, I can't believe it, I got a flat tire again. My goodness gracious, blah, 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 my whole day's ruined. What am I going to do? This is going to cost me a fortune, and blah, 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 blah. And you're always going to say, just another tow like they usually are. But all of a sudden, he comes up, and you say, oh, man, I'm so glad you're here. It's been a little rough, but, you know, God has everything under control, and I know God's going to work this out in some way for his honor and glory. And the guy's looking at you thinking, well, this is kind of strange because this isn't normal. And then by the time he gets you all hooked up and everything, and you got to, you know, sign the paper, I don't care if you got AAA or whatever, he comes over, where do you want this go to here? And, hey, by the way, and you reach into your pocket, and you pull out a gospel tract. And you hand it to him, you say, hey, listen, Jesus changed my life, and you know what I know? He can do the same thing for you. And that guy gets back up in his truck, and he looks at that track, and he looks up and said, well, I did ask, is there any hope for me? Would you rather have that be the record in heaven, that when that guy prayed to God, that God gave you a divine appointment to be a witness to that guy, and that guy ends up getting saved? He may never come to your church, but he gets saved, his family gets saved, serves God with the rest of his life. Or would you rather have the testimony be where God looks down and says, remember that tow truck driver that towed your car on this day, and all you did was scream and holler and gripe and complain and moan and groan? Yeah, well, I had that set up as a divine appointment for you to give him the gospel. And since you didn't, I had to have Brother Frank break down a couple hours later. And you know what he did? He told the guy how he got saved. And he gave that guy a gospel tract, and that guy got saved. That could have been on your account if you'd have simply been thinking about somebody other than yourself at the moment. And if you had glorified me in front of the heathen, then that record would be your account now. You know what those are? Those are called divine appointments. Divine appointments. Amen? Isaiah 36, verse 19. He said, and I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries. According to their way and according to their doings, I judged them. And when they entered into the heathen, whether they went, they profaned my holy name. Notice that? They profaned my holy name. when they said to them, these are the people of the Lord that are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had. Look at it again. They had profaned him among the heathen. Where they went. He said, how did they profane it? They supposedly had the most powerful God on the planet, but the way they live, they have to get under judgment. And people are like, well, what kind of God is that? What kind of God is it that they serve? Our gods wouldn't do that. He said, therefore, saying to the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have what? Profaned again. Notice how much time profane's coming up. He said, among the heathen, whither you went? He said, I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols will I cleanse you. Do you remember when Moses was on the mount and God saw the children of Israel and the times that God rebelled, or that the children of Israel rebelled against God? And then God said to Moses at one point, he said, listen, I'll just destroy them all and I'll start over with you. You know what Moses' reply was to God? Moses' reply to God is, but God, what will the heathen say about you that you brought them out and yet you couldn't deliver them? You know what that would be? That'd be profaning his name. He said, listen, the heathen will say, who are you then? God said, okay, I'm going to see him through this thing for my name's sake. And you know what he expected the children of Israel to do? To live for him for his name's sake. To lift him up above the heathen. But because they profaned him, now they're in captivity and his name's been profaned again. And he said, now I'm going to deliver you from captivity for my name's sake. You say, what does it mean profaned? It means that it's treated with irreverence or abuse applied to common uses. Profaneness is irreverence of sacred things, particularly the usage of language which implies irreverence towards God, the taking of God's name in vain. And then this is what the dictionary says. Profaneness in men is vulgar and odious. In females is shocking and detestable. So what kind of language comes out of you? Is it profane the name of God? You know what we call it when people cuss? Profanity. It's profane. And it's wrong. Let me ask you this. Do you glorify or profane his name? Look at verse 36. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Notice it said, I, the Lord, build the what? Ruined places. You know what they need to hear from us? This is what they need to hear, Chris. They need to hear that God restores ruined places. In fact, Eric, for the invitation which we're going to have here in just a moment, I want you to sing People Need the Lord. Okay? I know it's like right off the cuff, but that's where we're at this morning. You say, why is that? Listen to me. You know what the people need to know all around us that are living ruined lives? They need to know there's hope for their ruined lives. Right. And you know what you and I are as Christians? We are people that have experienced the ruined part of life. But because of our Savior, because of our great God, our lives aren't ruined. Now listen, do you and I have rough days? All right. But is your life in ruin like it was without Christ? No chance. You know what the people need to know? They need to know that our God is a God that we are thankful for. Amen. We are thankful. I am thankful I don't have Buddha. Amen. I'm thankful I don't follow Muhammad. Amen? I'm thankful that. Why? Because, Brother Frank, I am thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross for my sins, was buried, rose again. He's seated at the right hand of the Father to make intercession. And when I called out to Him, He forgave me, He saved me, and any ruin in my life was my fault, not His. He's a great God. So are we going to give thanks among the heathen? We should praise and sing and proclaim the great things the Lord has done for us in the presence of the heathen in order that the name of the Lord and His salvation be lifted up. That's what real thanksgiving is. Being thankful every day for where God has brought us from to where we are. Now let me say this morning. If you say, preacher, but I'm in a bad way right now. You know the good thing about that is, if you're in a bad way, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But if you're in a bad way and you'll turn to Jesus, He can turn it around. Amen. Now here's the thing you got to realize. You say, well, I already prayed and asked Him to turn it around. You can't turn the Titanic on a dime. Some turns take a little bit of time. The bigger the mess. You get a little speedboat, man, you can whip that thing right around. Amen? You get a little jet ski, woo, buddy, you can spin that baby right around. But you got something a little bigger, it doesn't mean it can't be turned. It means it just may take a little more time. Amen? Giving thanks among the heathen.
Thank you for listening to Light from the Word, a ministry of Liberty Baptist Church. If you are in the Dayton, Ohio area, we would love to have you join us in person. We are located at 6953 Germantown Pike in Moraine, Ohio. Our regular service times are Sunday school at 10 a.m., Sunday morning service at 11 a.m., Sunday evening service at 6 p.m., and our Wednesday evening service is at 7 p.m. Once again, thank you for listening to Light from the Word. Until next time, thank you and good day.